Red Horse Radio.
Welcome. Welcome. This is your daily drive time gut check. Brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright of Rock City. 5833 4th Street, Lubbock. We're Red Horse Radio.
We've got the next 30 minutes, so brace yourself and let's get to it.
The greatest aspect of being a convert is to be able to change according to the correction of the Word of God. That's one of the greatest blessings. I was too involved in a circumstance years ago, and I knew what I was doing was not right, but I just couldn't quite change directions. Well, I didn't want to. And my father busted me a few times on that. I mean, he showed up one time where I was, and he had never been there, didn't know the people I was with, and he was just sitting in the parking lot. Oh, that made me so mad. It's like, God, can I even do anything? God had directed him to show up, and you know this isn't for you. You know it. Why toil with that? And I was like, I know it's not right, and I'm trying to break away. I'm trying to disconnect. And my dad told me something very wise. He said, you can't slowly change your conduct. You got to make up your mind. This is it. You see, the flesh says, work on it a while. Take a few weeks. But God says, let him that stole steal no more. Don't reduce the amount of stuff you're stealing. You know, that's what we say. I want to taper off a little bit. So instead of killing three people this week, you know what? I'm going to cut it down to just two. And hopefully in a few weeks, I'll be totally done with murder. He said, you got to make up your mind. This is the last time. And in discussing that, I even brought it up one time. I was like, man, I mean, I know people who do things like that for decades. And they just never get caught. I said, here I am just barely, you know, looking over the line a little bit. And there you are. And he disparaged that. He said, it's a blessing when the Holy Spirit's got such a short leash on you that you can't even barely step over the line without him jerking you back. And he said the same thing that I was thinking. He said, I know people in my ministry practice that for years and years and years disobey. Seems like nothing ever happens. He said, evidently God's got a plan for you that, listen, he said, he just doesn't need this on your record. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I thank God today that I don't have the continuation of that. So when the word of the Lord comes to you and corrects you, that is a blessing. That's a blessing. And so anytime you hear a song or you think about something or someone writes you a letter, let it talk to you. Let it change you. If someone points out a character flaw in you, don't be so quick to say they don't know what they're talking about. They may. They may. And they may be God's vessel to get you to change, just so you will be the person that he wants you to be. One of the greatest gifts that God has given the men and women who can look into the Word of God and bring out the truth, explain it in a way that the rest of us can understand, that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And we should never take for granted the wonderful gift of God's Word and the men who were sensitive enough to God and the Holy Spirit to pin the words that our lives hang on. And if you're not there, if you're not to where your life hangs on the Word of God, I would say get there quick. It is a wonderful place to be when you know your life is suspended by the Word of God. If you've studied the Bible very much, you can recognize, and I'm not talking about Scripture itself, but I'm talking about throughout time and how the canons were struck and agreed upon, and word was canonized, and a lot of these things that happened in the centuries after the beginning of the church when the Holy Spirit came to planet Earth. And you'll know names like Aquinas, you'll know names like Aquarius, you'll know names like Martin Luther, John Calvin, you'll know names like John Edwards. But I guarantee if you ask all of those five guys, if you ask those five men today, who was the greatest? Who was the greatest theologian? Not Christ, I'm not talking about the Son of God or the Messiah, but accurate glimpse of God and His kingdom. I guarantee you all five, they would disagree on certain tenets of doctrine, but I believe all five would agree. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was just an incredible man and mind that could take these divine oracles and break them down to where we could understand them. Peter one time, and it's in the Bible, he said, Paul, in my vernacular, he said something to this effect, Paul's teachings are sometimes way out there. But he's right. I find that he's right. That's basically what the Apostle Peter said about that. Paul was a pastor. He was an evangelist. He was a missionary. And through his various writings, he gave us 2/3 of the New Testament writings. You can sense the angle by which he's writing from. The pastor, the evangelist, or the missionary. Paul never wrote volumes of literary documents. In fact, the book of Romans that we're going to study for a few weeks was the longest of his single books. He had other books, collectives of the book of Romans. Most of his writings are fairly concise. He'll cover a topic and move on. He doesn't stay real long in a certain topic. He moves on to other things. And you might have heard the name George Bernard Shaw. He wrote a letter to one of his friends one time, and man, I so relate to this. He wrote a letter to one of his friends, and the letter was 12 pages long. And so in the letter, he apologized. At the end, he apologized to his friend. He said, I'm so sorry that I wrote this letter so long, and this letter is so long. Listen to me. He said, the problem was I didn't have time to write a short one. Think about it. To think of everything that he wanted to say to that man, it would have taken a while to get the wording and everything right. So I'm telling you, I don't have time to preach short sermons. You got that? The book of Romans is the most intricate and the lengthiest of all of Paul's writings. But it's also the most inclusive as it pertains to the entire message of the gospel. You know the Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine was not a good man when he was just Augustine. And at the request of his children, and he said later, that text has changed my life. And it was the text of the book of Romans. John Wesley was converted after hearing a message from a text, and he said his heart was strangely warmed when he heard that text preached on. That was the text of the book of Romans. After an elongated and painful search for truth and for God, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther found peace and assurance of salvation. And he stated that his search through the law had left him hanging over the pit of hell. This is Martin Luther's words. He said, my search through the scriptures had left me hanging over the pit of hell. And it was in the book of Romans where I found the crown jewel of truth, salvation through faith in grace. He said, when I understood the text, the doors of paradise swung open and I walked through. It was this article which convinced Luther, of the gospel of faith alone, in grace alone, in Christ alone. And that is now what we stand on as the church today. The book of Romans in the 16th century became what they called the book of the Reformation. It actually changed everybody or many people's thinking. It's in this book that Paul tells, because on our own we could never attain any righteousness whatsoever. And it doesn't matter how good of a person you are, there's nothing you could do good enough to be righteous in the sight of a perfect God. And so it's in the book of Romans that Paul iterates to us of how important it is that we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not from our own works. The very first thing that Paul establishes in chapter 1 is the universality of guilt. The universality of guilt. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is not a performance, it's a position. We're all shapen in sin. Every person past Adam, the very first sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and then every baby born since is born in the position of sin. There's only two men in creation, really. Spiritually speaking, there are two men. There's Adam and there's Christ. If you're not born again into Christ, you're still in Adam, and that's in the position of sin. So see, you could be the nicest person on the earth, and you will definitely receive the wrath which is to come, because it's not about what you performed, it's the position that you were in. This is what the world needs to understand. It's not about performance, because I hear, unless you think you can be as good as God. If you can be as good as God, then I guess you have something to discuss there, but we all know no one can be as good as God. And so since it's the righteousness of God, it's got to equate God. And that's why Jesus is the only way, because the Bible says about Jesus, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so the one who was equal with God gave me his reputation before God, or his righteousness. And that's the only way I can stand with God. No one beneath God can stand with God. He would kill you. You would just be destroyed. And so Jesus puts his righteousness on us, making us with God, able to be with God. All right? Now, not equal in status, but equal in righteousness. Don't forget that. Very important. So he establishes the universality of our guilt. Before a person can rejoice, listen, before a person can rejoice about the good news, they've got to hear the bad news. Before a person can rejoice about good news, they have to hear, and they actually have to believe the bad news. If you don't believe the bad news, you don't have any reason to believe the good news. And today, preachers don't want to talk about the bad news. And that's why people don't really embrace the good news with a lot of cherish. Understand how bad the bad news is. And when you understand how bad the bad news is, you really cling to the good news. And the Bible says this is the good news of the gospel. But nobody wants to talk about judgment. Nobody wants to talk about wrath. Everybody thinks that Jesus took care of that on the cross. He did, if you believe. But in the New Testament, I'll take you to the verse, we will talk about the wrath which is to come. See, Jesus didn't take away the wrath of God. He turned away the wrath. He turned the wrath of God. And so everybody, God's eyes are looking upon us. We are evil. He's going to judge us. And then God turns him away from our Adamic nature and puts us on our righteousness, which is in Christ. And so God's at peace with us. But he's not at peace with everybody that's still there in that category. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he turned the wrath of God away from us who believe, and now the wrath of God is just looking on people who have not believed. Isn't that simple? That is a pretty simple statement. He turned the wrath of God away from now pure souls, righteous people. He didn't dissolve it and take it away. He turned it. So now it's only on the unbelievers. And that wrath is still to come. Mine is found to be guilty and worthy of death before the righteousness of God. Everybody, when brought before the counsel of God and the assessment or the judgment of God, everybody is guilty. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one human being righteous in ourself. So the reason justification by faith is such good news is because it is the only way anyone can survive the justice and the judgment of Almighty God. It's the only way. And today in our culture, more and more people are saying it's not the only way. There's a pastor of a 10,000-member church who said this the other day. He said, believing that Jesus Christ is the only way to God is insanity. He looked out to his crowd of people, and he said, whatever your process is of trying to get to God, I honor it. That's a fool. And they're all fools if they stay in a church like that, because he will lead them straight to hell. Because Jesus is the only way. If there is another way. He said this. He said Jesus didn't even believe that he was the only way. And the first verse that came to my mind, Jesus is talking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Angle that guy. But I'm justified and I can't do it. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Thessalonians. That's not Deuteronomy. So if you think there's not a coming wrath, then you need to let the song of the Word of God change your mind today. There is a coming wrath. King James Bible says, from the wrath which is to come, not which has already been enacted, which is to come. That's what we have to share with people. There is a wrath of God that is to come. And the only way to escape that is going to be through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Any method by which human beings attempt to get close to God by man-created means always ends in religion or mysticism. A man-made thing or a man-concocted spiritual thing. Mysticism. Same thing, it's birthed by man. It's conceived by man. Must begin and end within the boundaries of Scripture. Everything that we do has got to find its abode between Genesis or Revelation. John 1 and 18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but Christ revealed him to us. So the only way to see God is to look to Christ. Christ alone, in grace, by faith. The Word of God, the basis of all of our faith. Without this, there is no salvation. There's no connection to God. Everything in this life hinges upon one's response to that book. And the book of Romans is a very elaborate, all-inclusive word of the gospel. So when it comes to the Word of God, in my opinion, we don't need motivational speakers. When it comes to the Word of God, now if you want a motivational speaker, you can YouTube Zig Ziglar or Dennis Waitley, or, you know, even the current motivational speakers of today. But in my opinion, when I'm encountering this by help from Dave Ramsey, I can manage my future and my dreams by listening to some of these motivational speakers. But when it comes to my soul, I need you to talk to me about my soul. I need you to talk to me about what is to come after this life. Because my soul never dies. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. Be careful with the issues of your soul, because your soul never dies. And so you live in this flesh and spirit world, and it's all about the barns or the soul. And you know that story in the Bible where Jesus told that there was a man who looked at all that he had, and he said, man, I'm going to tear these barns down. They're not big enough. I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to store all of my goods in there. And he said, then I am just going to relax. I'm going to take it easy. The barn plan was a good plan, except when you factored in the soul. And immediately God said, but you fool, this day, your soul is going to be required of you. And it's sad today in a lot of church services, there's preachers that are preaching barn messages. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? Messages that have to do with the barn. And the barn is temporal. The barn is flighty. The barn is here today and gone tomorrow. A lot lately. And more barns here today will not always be standing. But the soul will never die. The things that have to do with your soul, you must guard with 100% reverence and awe. And how careless we are sometimes with our soul. How negligent we are sometimes with our soul. The old preacher said, give Christ your life the day before you die. And they said, well, we don't know when we're going to die. And he said, then you better do it today. Another old man said, you may not have a condition, but you may have a situation. You understand that? You may not be sick today, but you could have a situation right out on 4th Street. And then your soul is the only thing that matters. Let's be people who are very careful with our souls. And this is about obedience. See, the best care you can give your soul is obeying the Word of God, being obedient to the Word of God. The Word of God is the nurture of the soul. So if you got a Bible, turn to Romans, the first chapter. And this is just expository talk. We preach a lot of, but there's sometimes you just need to go verse by verse and just see what the Word of God is really saying. Paul says the man justified by keeping the law is sentenced to die because of sin. But then he gives this wonderful however. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law, and all who believe in the Christ are given the righteousness of God through Christ. That is a gift from God. Paul taught once you believe on Christ, you have peace with God and access to God's presence. That's wonderful. I told you the story some weeks ago about in this little town, there was an artist, and he had a gallery in the town square, and he would be there all day painting his portraits and painting his pictures, and his son would walk through the town square, and there was a town bum that lived in the park area, and he just slept out there, and people helped him with food and different things. He was an okay guy. He just didn't have anything, and this little boy would go and hang out with this bum during the day, and they got to be pretty good friends, and so one day they were talking, and the old man had a little piece of paper and a pencil, and he said, son, he goes, I want you to be still. He said, I probably would never draw you as good as your dad, but he said, I'd like to just draw a picture of you. And so this bum drew this picture, gave it to the kid. Well, the kid left, and they associated a while longer, and time passed, and the son left home, and then a little bit more time passed, and the father passed away, and so the bum had heard about that, and he thought, I want to go to that gallery and just see if by chance my little picture got saved. And so he went to the gallery, and when he walked up, there was a line all the way out the door and down the sidewalk, and he asked the people, he said, what's going on today? And they said, well, the old man died, and today they're auctioning off all of his art. Well, he didn't have any money, but he thought he'd go in and just look it over and see what happened. And so he walked in there, and all the people were gathered, and the auctioneer had got on the stage. And he said, okay, we're going to bring this to order. And the people were so excited because they had all picked out certain pictures they were going to bid on. And he said, but before we get started, he said, there's a little sketch that we need to auction off first. And he pulled out that sketch that bum had drawn of the auction this one off first. So the people couldn't believe it. They started getting restless, and he began to call out the numbers. Well, nobody wanted to give any money for that little sketch. It wasn't that great. It didn't look, like the quality of that artist. And So finally, the old bum was sitting in the back of the room, and he thought, well, I think I do have a few coins. Nobody else is buying this thing. He said, I think I do have a few coins. He reached in his pocket. Say he had a couple of dollars. And so he just spoke out, and he said, I'll give you all the money I've got. It's $2. Well, the auctioneer said there was an article in the man's will that said whatever was bid on that picture, that bidder got that picture. He said, bring your $2, sir. So he brought his $2, and all the people started clamoring, get the auction going, get the auction going. The auctioneer said, there was one more article in the will of this man. And it says this, whoever got the son got the entire collection. And that old bum was given the entire art collection of that man. And Paul bears that out. If you get the son, you get everything the Father's got. Are you understanding that? This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And the good news is about his son. Ladies and gentlemen, let us never forget, all of this is about Jesus Christ. That's why there is no other way, because there's no other one. It is all about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. So fleshly, he was King David's son. Spiritually, he was God's son. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So there you see what we learn when we go verse by verse. The only reason that we get preached to and the only reason we get taught the word of God is so we will believe and then so we will obey. Can you see, ladies and gentlemen, that simply listening and even obeying is not enough? He said they obey, or they believe, so they will obey. And that's what brings glory to God. Bringing glory to God is not a matter of salvation. Bringing glory to God is the next phase after that, and that is sanctification. And once you're sanctified and you are being sanctified, then you start to glorify God. And God saves us to glorify him. He don't save us just to save us.
Well, there it is. Red Horse Radio. We'll be here every weekday afternoon at 5:30. Red Horse Radio is brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright. Rock City, 5833 4th Street, Lubbock, Texas. Come join us at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning and find us on the web at rockcitylubbock.com. And remember, be here next time for Red Horse Radio.